Blog Talk Radio.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to another edition of Sports Urban Legend. Along with my co-host Macaulay Matthew, I'm of course with my mom. What's up, Mac? How you doing?
Hey, man. What's up? How's it going?
I'm doing all right, man. Thanks for coming on the show as always.
Hey, glad to be on as usual.
Thank you, and thank you again, ladies and gentlemen, for checking out this episode of Sports Urban Legend. Today's show, we're going to talk about, you know, the Knicks on their current road trip on the West Coast. You know, we'll talk about the Nets. We'll talk about baseball, you know, with the Mets and the Yankees, you know, and their various series that they're going through right now. And, you know, we'll talk, you know, wrestling too. And whatever else you'd like to talk about. Of course, you guys know the number is 563-999-3529. That's 563-999-3529. So feel free to talk about any of these topics and more. We'd love to hear from you. With that said, let's go right into the Knicks. And the Knicks, prior to this road trip, Knicks, you know, they were playing, you know, great at one point, but, you know, this West Coast trip is, you know, is expected to be the highlight of the season. A lot of playoff teams, you know, they go to the West Coast and it just knocks them out. But fortunately for the Knicks, they're having a great season, the best season they've had since, what, 2012 or so, 2013. So, you know, this West Coast trip, playoffs, obviously, but they could drop a few games in the standing. But, you know, the most important thing about this Knicks team is, like, they're, you know, most of the times, you know, because of their defense and they're sharing the ball, they're playing, you know, basketball the right way, the Knicks way, you know, they're in most of these games. Unfortunately, you know, against the Suns and the Nuggets recently, they've been blown out. I mean, after they, you know, they beat up on the Rockets on this road trip. But, you know, the Knicks are going to, you know, this team has been a resilient team, and they should weather the storm. Next week is gonna be very tough. They're gonna be battling the Lakers, the Clippers, and some other teams that escape me at the moment. But, you know, this team doesn't quit. So, you know, I'm looking forward to seeing what they're going to do. You know, what's your thoughts?
Yeah, you know, they started off the road trip by winning two games in a row. Then they've lost these last two. Right now they're still in good shape. You know, if they split these next two games on the road, I think they're still in good position to clinch the fourth spot. You know, then they come home. You know, the Laker game, you know, right now the Lakers, they're missing LeBron. He's going to miss some more games because of his injury. And AD, I think, is going to miss a game as well.
Mm-hmm.
I think he's injured. So, you know, the Lakers right now aren't fully healthy. So the Knicks could easily grab that game. The Clipper game will be tough, you know, because Clippers are one of the best teams in the Western Conference. But, you know, this Knicks team, as you said, they've been resilient all year. You know, they play with heart. You know, they're always in the game, except for these last two games.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, right now, you know, they just need to try to clinch that fourth spot to get the home court. Right now, the Knicks do have injuries of their own. Burks,
mm-hmm.
It looks like he's going to miss the next game with an injury. And
Quickly
just injured as well. So, you know, these other guys like Kevin Knox, they have to step up, you know, in replacement of these other guys that are injured. And, you know, Hopefully, you know, these guys could, you know, step up. So we'll see. We'll see. But, you know, this next team, they have a lot of heart, as we've seen all season long. So, you know, I think they'll still be in good shape even after this road trip.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I'm with you, you know. You know, they're going to be battling the Clippers tomorrow night at 3:30. They're going to be facing the Lakers to cap off the West Coast trip against the Lakers at Tuesday night at 10. Then they host the Spurs, you know, a regular season rematch of the 1999 NBA Finals. Oh, now that I think about it, today is the anniversary of the 51 year anniversary of the Knicks' first championship in 1970.
Oh yeah,
you know, so you know, congratulations to our franchise, of course,
yeah.
And you know, they're gonna face each other Tuesday night on the road. And, you know, then of course, you know, they're going to be playing the Spurs, hosting the Hornets, you know, a team that they've had a lot of history with in the 90s. They're going to be battling them on Saturday, most likely. You know, the time isn't determined yet. And then Sunday, to wrap up the season, they're going to be battling the Celtics, so... You know, the season, the regular season is upon us.
Yeah.
You know, it's coming close, and you know, the Knicks, you just gotta weather the storm, you know, and they can clinch this fourth place, you know. So you know,
yeah,
keep this momentum going.
Yeah, well, they end the season with, you know, three games at home, so that should definitely help them.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. They've been doing some home cooking, and I don't know, I guess the black uniforms is working for them, because you would, normally speaking, you know, your home team would wear white, but I guess Knicks, they want to pretend like they're road warriors, you know, at home, I guess, so... I guess it's working this year, so I guess they're going to keep it going.
Yeah.
I guess they want to copy off the Mike Piazza Met teams wearing black. So
it helps sometimes, yeah.
Hey, I guess it works for them, so we just keep this momentum going. And, yeah, shifting gears with the Nets. Obviously, the Nets are a better team than the Knicks. But doesn't look like Durant talking trash about the Knicks, saying like, you know, the Knicks aren't cool and all that stuff. I guess he might eat his words if we face each other in the playoffs. And yeah, those guys, man, they're losing as we speak to the Nuggets, which. Us Knicks fans, you know, we know how tough this Nuggets team is, you know. The Nets are on the road against the Nuggets. They're basically going to be in halftime right now as we're speaking. So the Nets, they got a big hill to climb if they want to try to come back in this game, which I doubt, you know. But, you know, they got a talented Nets team, so. You never know, but I doubt that they'll come back in this game.
Well, yeah,
so,
that's, and right now they're I think a game and a half or two games behind the Sixers. Sixers have been playing real well, winning eight in a row. So Nets gonna start have to win these games to catch up to the Sixers in the standings. So Nets have not been playing well these last. You know,
yeah,
5 or 6 games. They've been losing a lot.
Yeah, they're on the verge of a 5-game losing streak if they don't come back here tonight,
yeah.
Which most likely they won't with this Nuggets team.
Yeah, the issue is, you know, these guys, Harden, Irving, and Durant, they they hardly play with each other.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you hardly see them all three on the floor.
Mm-hmm.
And they all have some injuries. And come playoff time, you know, who knows what happens, you know? So they're not looking as, you know, mighty as, you know, they looked like earlier in the season, you know, especially on paper when it looked like, you know, this roster would be undefeated.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, now they're looking more vulnerable. So,
yeah. I mean, yeah. I mean, this was the side effect of going for it. You know, they had a complete team before they traded for Harden. But, you know, with Harden, they put them over the top. You know, the Cinderella story of them, you know, being underdogs and you know, trying to, you know, win their first ever title, you know, that's over. Once they did that Harden move, you know, now they're, you know, one of the favorites to win it all. So now they just got to embrace this, you know, this heel role that they're playing, that, you know, all the pressure is on them. So, yeah, it's a, you know, they got the talent, you know, they got the three talented guys, and, you know, obviously in Harden, Durant, and Irving. So they just gotta find a way to stay on the court, and, you know, in jail. So,
yep.
Yeah, this is basically, yeah, after this Nuggets game that's going on, they're going to be battling the Bulls in Chicago on Tuesday. Basically the same time, you know, the Knicks are going to be facing the Lakers, except they're going to be in an 8 o'clock start. Then the Nets are going to be hosting the Spurs Wednesday at 8. Then the Nets will be hosting the Bulls this time on Saturday, May 15th. And then to wrap up the series, you know, Kyrie Irving is going to host his former team, the Cavaliers, and try to win the title again, but this time for the Nets. Sunday night, they wrap up their season, May 16th. And then, of course, there'll be playoff basketball for both teams.
Yeah, it's going to be rocking in the Garden.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, hopefully, maybe I could go see the Knicks in the playoff game, maybe.
Chelsea. Yeah, that'd be sweet.
Yeah.
That'd definitely be sweet. But, yeah, props to both New York teams, the Nets and the Knicks. They're doing their thing this year. And, you know, we'll see what happens in June,
yep.
You know. So, yeah, shifting gears, but staying at the Garden, yeah, Dolan made some, you know, a major decision. He, you know, he fired the GM, Jeff Gordon, and, you know, the president, John Davison, and he hired Chris Drury to replace, you know, both men, you know, running the thing. So, but yeah, that's not the only news with the Rangers, you know, this week. Obviously, they won today by the final score of 5-4. They won their final game of the season. Zibanejad, you know, scored twice for the Blue Shirts. But, you know, it's a lost year for the Rangers, you know. And as a result, you know, they're not gonna make the postseason. And they got fired, and yeah, but back to the other story that happened to the Rangers was they got into a fight, you know, earlier this week. And, yeah, basically Tom Wilson, he instigated a fight, but they only fined him five, you know, they instead of suspending him, they gave him a $5,000 fine. And then the Rangers were vocal about it, you know, But, you know, instead of giving him a severe fine and suspending him, you know, they basically gave him a slap on the wrist, you know. And, you know, the Capitals right winger, Tom Wilson, you know, he didn't get suspended, even though he's been a dirty player in his career. And the Rangers spoke out about it. So you would think they'd give them a $5,000 fine too, since Tom Wilson's the one that instigated it. But nope, the Rangers got hit with a $250,000 fine by the NHL because the NHL felt that they shouldn't have, you know, been so outspoken about that slap in the wrist that they got.
This was a fight that occurred on in the hockey ring.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this happened.
I mean, don't they always fight in hockey anyway? What's the
What happened? Tom Wilson, he knocked one of the players down. I think it was Panarin. And while he was down, he was punching him while he was down, without the helmet.
And he
slammed his head down, like if he was like a WWE superstar or something.
I've seen players when they're ready to fight take off their helmets and like just sort of, you know, put up their fists.
Yeah, but the problem is the guy was on the floor. He
attacked the guy when the guy was on the floor.
The guy wasn't
face to face with him.
No, he dropped him on the floor. He body slammed Panarin, you know, uh-huh. Who's a star player of the Rangers.
Yeah,
and you know, while he was down, he was punching him in the head. While he was on the floor, you know, not able to defend himself.
Because other people weren't even fighting. Right?
I don't remember. I didn't see the part. I don't remember if they were fighting. I mean, I assume they were, or he just body slammed them, and while he was defenseless on the floor, he started attacking him. You know, like he started punching him while he's on the floor.
Now, if they were fighting beforehand, I mean, to me, it's the same thing. Now, if on the other hand, if the guy was already on the – if the guy was body on the floor and then just laying there and the guy's just beating up on him without the guy, you know, defending himself, then that's assault.
That's exactly what it is. He assaulted him.
Yeah.
Because the guy's on the floor.
But if they're already fighting beforehand and, you know, he ended up body slamming him to the floor as they were fighting – then, you know, that's just the natural – that's just part of the fight to me. I mean, hockey gets away with a lot of these fights anyway. You know, I don't know. They get away with more fights than any other sport. And not that it's deadly what was going on in the hockey ring sometimes when I'm seeing these guys taking off their helmets, punching each other inside of an ice ring. I mean, that – It's craziness, but, you know, I don't know the full story, but, you know, if indeed this guy, you know, was not defending himself, and he, you know, the other guy was assaulting him, then yeah, that other guy deserves.
Yeah, and plus he sucker punched Buchnevich also in that same match, that same fight too, and you know, in that same let me.
Wilson loses it. Well, let's see what happens. So he got Wilson 43.
Oh, shot.
So he punched Buchnevich. and Strome saw it, did the right thing, and jumped on top of him. And then Wilson, and then Panera saw it, so Panera jumps on Wilson, and then Wilson wrestles him down. And then this is Lott, Busevich, and Dillon, who's a physical player. But here's what's happened with Busevich goes down, and Wilson is on him. And he forces him straight down his head and then punches him. And that's what Strome sees. It's good for Strome. Now, what does that merit, you know? It merits something at the shot. And so then Wilson takes a shot, and then you see how strong Wilson is. His Panarin's on his back, and Wilson will pick him up and body slam. Here it is again. 89-43 is Wilson, and right there it punches him, and then Strome sees that and comes to his help. That's where Wilson makes a mockery of the game. There was no call for what he did. Okay. That's impressive. I don't know who he is. I've always respected the man when he plays the game because he's a good player.
Now,
but when he does that kind of stuff and he's done crazy and suspended for stuff, it's way out of line.
Now, he had the last game, they gave him the A on his sweater, coaching staff did, but Ovechkin out of line. He was one of the captains because he meets so much, and they talk about what a great teammate he is, what a good leader he is, and now he's going in the, you know. I don't know if this could be just a 10-minute misconduct along with some other penalties or whether it's a game misconduct. But he loses control. Oh, then Panarin, you know, he's not sitting down, then punches him a few times and throws him back down again. And Buchnevich, you know, does a good job. You know, good for the Rangers that were out there. You know, because Tom Wilson is one of the most feared players in the National Hockey League. He's feared.
Yeah, well, welcome back. I mean, I don't know if you were able to see the footage, Mac, or hear it.
I heard a bit of it. Yeah, I have to watch the video to see the full.
You type in the video, Tom Wilson ragdolls Artemi Panarin, the cross checking Pavel Buchnevich, and you'll see what I'm talking about. Yeah, it was unprovoked. He just, like, body slammed them and started sucker-punching them.
Wow. For no reason.
Yeah, it was crazy. I think he had, like, a call on him in the game, and apparently he was peeing about it, and he just started attacking them.
Wow.
It was crazy.
So I'm watching it right now. What the body slam happens in the beginning?
I think so.
I see a lot of players scuffling.
Yeah. What time is it that you're seeing it?
I see this in the beginning of the video.
Yeah. That's
oh,
what I'm
actually,
saying.
I see it now right now. Yeah, he slams him. Okay, so they're already fighting. It looks like.
Yeah. After he attacked the guy.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like they're already fighting. There's a scuffle, and then the guy ends up. Well, I don't even know if you want to call that a body slam, or maybe a throw down or something.
Yeah, I guess a takedown. Yeah, a takedown would be more of a suitable.
Yeah, but so they're already fighting. That's what I'm saying. Like if it was like in the heat of the moment, you know, like it's not the.
Because
he didn't do that unprovoked.
He fought two different people. He fought two different people. He brought down Buchnevich, and then afterwards he attacks Panarin.
There's a lot of players fighting also in that. I saw a big scuffle. I mean, that to me, when I see that, that's a normal hockey fight. I'm sorry. You know, yes, he did take it extreme by hitting him while he was on the ground, but they're already fighting, so that was probably in the
and
heat of the moment.
I'm talking about the attacking him while he's down. That's what because obviously, you know, hockey, they always fighting all the time. My problem is, like, he's attacking the guy while he's down. And he's like, like punching him in the head, like while he's down, like the guy's defenseless. That's my whole thing. I mean, obviously they fight in hockey. I mean, they fight more than boxers in hockey.
Yeah.
But him hitting him while he was down was classless, in my opinion. But it is what it is, man. Yeah, but shifting gears, the Mets, you know, they bounced back these past couple of days and you know, they won this series against the Diamondbacks. What was I gonna say? I don't know if you heard what happened on Friday night.
What happened Friday night?
Yeah, Friday night. Basically, Lindor and McNeil they were like going after the same ball. They were like positioned in the same area, and it was like they were kind of getting in each other's way. So people were thinking like they probably have some you know beef with each other or something like that. So they ran into the separately, they ran into inside the clubhouse where the cameras wasn't rolling. And if you look at the players' reaction, like Alonso and them, you could see their reaction of like, oh shoot, like what the heck is going on? They didn't say anything, but just their reaction of what they're seeing inside is, you know, there's a commotion that's going on in there. So, basically, we were trailing, I think, 4-2 at one point. We were trailing 4-0 in the beginning.
So they were fighting?
Well, that's what it looks like what happened. We don't have any footage of what happened. So Mets was down 4-0. Lindor, after the incident, would hit a 2-run tying home run, which was his second as a Met and the first at Citi Field. But in between that time, When the incident happened, you know, nobody knows what happened. So basically, this backup catcher, Pazinka, he gets a this fielder's choice, which scored Alonso in the bottom of the 10th to win the game. So here's the controversy. When the reporters were asking them what happened, you know, Lindor was downplaying it. And Lindor was basically saying that, you know, him and what's his name is cool, and that the whole commotion was that they both saw whatchamacallit.
Oh yeah, everybody, the raccoon.
Yeah, let me see if I can find the
yeah, I heard about that.
The audio. The actual, so you can hear exactly. So they were, according to him, they were debating whether it was a raccoon or a rat. But let me see if I could find the clip quickly. All right, hold on a second, folks. So here's Lindor's.
Hey, Francisco. What exactly happened in the tunnel there?
It was funny because I told him, I was like, hey, I've never seen a New York rat. So we went down sprinting. I wanted to go see a New York rat. And he got mad at me. He's like, no, it's not a rat. It's a raccoon. I'm like, hell no, man. It's a damn rat. It's a New York rat, man. I was just crazy because we were going back and forth debating if it was a rat or a raccoon. Crazy, man. Insane.
Who was he? Who were you debating that with?
We Jeff. I was like, bro, you gotta check this out. I was like, this is a New York rat. He's like, no, man, I've been here longer than you.
Francisco, you know, that conversation, I guess, debate happened after a mix-up on the infield. It's not the first time that's happened with the two of you. Has there been a frustration about communication at times in the infield?
No, man, that ball right there, I just didn't get him out. I got mad, yeah, because I didn't get him out. The pitcher is working hard, and I didn't get him out. So that was on me. I got to do a better job of getting to base walls, take better jumps to the ball, and help the pitchers out a lot more. So that one's on me.
Well, yeah, that's part of what Francisco Lindor said after the game on a Friday night. That was courtesy of SNY. And then after the game, Todd Zeal was like, he wasn't buying the story, because he's been in the clubhouse, he's been a former player. So he knows a situation like that, that was a made up story. But, the messed up thing about it is like, I understand he want to keep stuff in-house. But to make up this whole story about a rat and a raccoon, I mean, come on, let's be real here. A rat and a raccoon do not look anything alike. A rat and an opossum look similar to each other. But a raccoon and a rat, like, come on. This isn't Pepe Le Pew and the cat he's chasing after. They look different. They're both rodents. But you could tell a difference between a rat and a raccoon. Like, I mean, come on. And to make up the story,
so you don't believe the story?
No, I mean, I believed it at first until, Tazi was talking about it in the thing, and then once the wheels in my head was kind of spinning, like, yeah, wait a minute, that doesn't make any sense, because a raccoon and a rat does not look the same at all. I mean, come on.
This is so mess-like.
Why did he have to make the story up? Like, They had like their best win of the season. And And Lindor could have just been man up and just said, whatever happened there, it's in-house, we're family, they keep it indoors. And then that would have been it, I mean, you as a Yankee fan know that you don't have to be friends with all your teammates to win. You can hate each other and you still make it work. Obviously, you would, in a perfect world, you would love all your teammates to love each other and win the title. But, these guys are, when you think about it, these guys are like family. And family members and friends, they don't always agree with each other. You're going to have respectful disagreements. I'm just hoping that whatever the disagreement was, they didn't get to blows, because I don't want any of these guys injuring themselves, on a personal level. And obviously these guys are, two of the best players on the team. So obviously you don't want these guys injuring themselves, but yeah, man, it's a messed up thing. Like he could have just was like, keeping it in house. That's it. So then Jeff McNeil basically story, and he was confirming what Lindor said, but then he said, he didn't say it was a raccoon. He thought it was a possum, which that actually would have made more sense in the story if he would have came up with that than what he came up with. And then Luis Rojas, the manager, was saying like he didn't see any of the stuff that happened. By the time he came, he saw Lindor, and Lindor was like, okay, let's get ready to win this game and stuff like that. And then today, this afternoon, the acting GM Zach Scott and Rojas were basically, they didn't buy the story. They weren't trying to like cover up the story, So I mean, it's just a crazy, I mean, the Mets, let me see. I think they've won like four in a row. Like, what's the point of making up this story? You got Jacob deGrom. He's been hurt. He hasn't really pitched, lately. And he's expected to start tomorrow, barring a setback. So it's like, come on. Like, accept the prosperity. Lindor's starting to hit now. Jeff McNeil is starting to hit as well. I mean, just take the W. Come on. Like, they made a mild story into a big story. They literally turned the... They turned a rat hole in the wall into the Holland Tunnel. Like, come on, like, just let the story die,
I think they are trying to make it die, but the media, you know, they always want to make something big out of it. So
yeah, but they shouldn't have. Not. He should. They shouldn't have him and McNeil shouldn't have created this story to begin with. Or whoever, I assume it's him, but who knows? I mean, they shouldn't have just made up this story to begin with, and you know, it would have been not issue.
Well, the thing is, you know, if he had said, if he says no comment, or then that even creates more speculation about what happened.
Well, yeah. Either way, you're gonna, as long as you don't say nothing, you don't tell the truth of what happened, there's always gonna be speculation. But to come up with this whole story, like, I mean, this is, I mean, come on. Yeah. I'm speechless after, you know, a day afterwards, but it is what it is. Most importantly, they're actually winning. The bullpen has been pitching great. I mean, they had a bullpen game today. Like, they had Tommy Hunter start the game as an opener. Lucchese, I think he got the win coming in relief. And, you know, Trevor May got his first save as a Met. So, yeah, Trevor May, he's been doing well as a Met. I think he's got a couple of wins. His first win was, like, May 1st. Then he got a win in May 2nd as well and got a save. So, you know, May is really his month. He got the month of May. So, you know, we got to keep this going. The Mets got to keep this momentum and hopefully give the D-backs the broom tomorrow with the Grom on the mound if they actually, you know, swing the bat and play some defense for the Grom. But we all know how those games usually are. So we'll find out tomorrow how that goes. But shifting gears with a team you're very familiar with, the New York Yankees, they had a pretty good game today. You know, they outlasted Max Scherzer, and they came up clutch in the extra innings and won by the final score of 4-3. So props to you guys.
Yeah, it was a very great win. You know, it was like a throwback Yankee win. You know, outlast, try to stay in the game with the other team's ace and find a way to win it at the end, you know, like the old days. So they managed to do that, you know, even though Scherzer had, you know, I think he struck out like 14 batters today, something like that. And Yankees just looked lifeless today, you know, they couldn't hit. But at the end there, Gleyber Torres, he got the game tying RBI single in the ninth. And then Mike Ford retied the game in the 10th. And then Torres, hit the winning hit to lift the Yankees to 4-3. So, I think it was the first walk-off of the season, if I believe.
I believe so. Yes, it is. It is the first walk-off. So, you know, congratulations to the Yankees.
Yep.
You know, they're back to their winning ways.
We've been playing well lately. We swept the Tigers last week. Then we beat the Astros two games, even though we couldn't sweep them in that final game. They got to Gerrit Cole, but we still ended up winning that series. And the Yankee fans really gave it to the Astros.
Oh yeah, that was pretty epic. You know, how the Yankee fans, they waited 2 years to show the Astros how they really feel about them.
Yep. Yeah. I wish I was at that game. I would have threw some beer in trash cans. I would have did what Tom Wilson did to Harden. So. But the Yankees, they've been playing well. I'd say that there's still times where they're inconsistent with the hitting, you know, and to bring in runners. So hopefully, you know, the bats wake up a bit. But they've been playing well these last 7-8 games, so hopefully they can continue. You know, pitching has been better of late. Bullpen has been very good, with the exception of yesterday. Yeah, hopefully they can, play better and try to catch up to the Red Sox, who are still leading this division at the moment.
Mm-hmm. And Pops Higashioka for tying the game.
Yeah, that's right.
With his fifth home run. So.
Yeah.
But yeah, the Yankees, they're keeping their momentum. You know, they've played a lot better lately. I think they lost Friday night, but, they bounced back today, which is the most important thing, especially against Scherzer. So,
yep.
And now they're going to try to win this rubber game tomorrow. But, let me go back to the Knicks before I go to wrestling. I don't know if you heard, but the Knicks, they signed a European player, or actually an Argentinian point guard, Luka Vildoza.
Oh, yeah, I heard about that.
Yeah, apparently this guy, he won a championship, I think, last year. And he was the MVP of that finals in Argentina. So, or it was in the European league. Let me see.
Good signing, with the playoffs coming up. That might actually help us.
Absolutely. Yeah, they signed him to a 4-year deal. So, props to the guy. I think it's 4 years, 13.6 million. So, yeah, man. This guy, he has potential, So we'll see what he could do for the Knicks, since he dominated the Spanish league. So we'll see what happens with that. And we'll see what he does, in the summer. I don't know if you in the Suns game, Thibodeau and Chris Paul had an argument. I don't know if you saw that.
Oh, I missed that. What was the argument over?
Maybe Bullock had an issue or something. I'd have to double check to see what that was again.
Okay.
But I think he could, obviously, how it is with star players, people are thinking maybe Nick still have a shot at Chris Paul if he opts out. But, the deal. We'll believe it when we see it.
I think the Knicks are fine with what they got right now. And, they're going to need to obviously give Randall an extension this offseason. So hopefully they can get some other free agents to come here. But, I'm not worried about Chris Paul coming here anymore. I mean, that's probably way past us, so I don't care.
I hear you.
Right, I think we need to get younger. Paul, he's close to his 40s, so we need to get younger guys anyway. Stop trying to get these has-beens.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, he can still ball, but he don't have a lot of years left,
Yeah, how many more years do you expect out of the guy? I mean, So you want to get a younger guy for the future. That's the direction to go. Let's not revert back to the old Knicks.
Oh yeah, and they definitely shouldn't be training off these talented guys like Quickly or Toppin or anybody like that. Gotta hold on to these young guys. Most likely they're gonna keep paying anyway. Instead of going straight to Quickly or even Vildoza, I don't think they're going to throw a young guy into the fire, which, I'm in favor of it. If, you feel the guy is ready, you know, give them the test. You know, you're not going to have a rookie of the year if you just keep playing all these veteran guys, you know, give these young guys a shot to prove themselves.
Yeah, I think quickly as, you know, he's played very well. He's earned his spot. He's earned it to become a starter for this team.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. He has quickly become a fan favorite, for sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But, yeah, hopefully he can, you know, he could heal himself from the ankle sprain, and Alec Burke, you know, could heal that knee of his. So.
Yeah.
Because obviously they weren't able to play with the Suns, so, but hopefully, you know, they could get a speedy recovery. Yeah, shifting gears to WWE and AEW and all, you know, what else is going on in wrestling. I guess we'll tackle what happened on AEW before we go to WWE. And on Wednesday's episode of AEW, they had a special TV show event, which was like a pay-per-view atmosphere, but it was on TV. And basically, the highlight of the match was the Blood and Guts match, which is basically, you know, a war game match in AEW. But here's what happened. Jon Moxley and Eddie Kingston, they defeated Kenny Omega and MT Nakazawa. Cody Rhodes, he defeated his former best friend, QT Marshall, in a singles match. Dr. Britt Baker, she defeated Julia Hart by submission. SoCal, which is Christopher Daniels and Frankie Kazarian, two Impact Wrestling legends. They defeated Jungle Boy and Luchasaurus, which is the Jurassic Express. They defeated Varsity Blondes, which has Griff Garrickson and Brian Pillman Jr., and The Acclaim, Anthony Bowens and Max Caster. And as a result, they're going to be SoCal Uncensored is going to be battling. They're going to be battling for the AEW Tag Team Championship next week, or I should say this upcoming week. And then last but not least, you had the Pinnacle. MJF, Wardlow, Sean Spears, Cash Wheeler, Dax Harwood, defeating the Inner Circle, which has Jericho, Jake Hager, Sammy Guevara, Santana, and Ortiz. And yeah, it was a great match. You know, it was like a vintage war game match, you know, extremely brutal. And basically the Inner Circles was gonna win this match. But MJF, he won on the top of the cell, and Jericho was gonna whoop his behind even more. And then afterwards, you know, he attacked Jericho while he was distracted. And basically he was gonna throw Jericho off the top of the cell. But then the Inner Circle, was begging him not to throw him off. You know, so they, I think it was Sammy Guevara who said that they quit. And, you know, that's how the Inner Circle won the match. And, but then, you know, MJF threw Jericho off the cell anyway, to the ground, put a dent in the ground. And that's how AEW Dynamite ended. So yeah, that match was definitely the highlight of that episode right there. But I'm trying to think what else happened. Oh, yeah, I guess we'll shift gears to WWE. Last night, did you see the last night SmackDown?
I did, yeah. The return of Jey Uso.
Jimmy Uso,
yeah. He mm-hmm. came back after that leg injury, so good to
right.
see him back. But it looks like he's not going to bow down to Roman Reigns.
But then again, they kind of teased that he would reluctantly because he did help jump Cesaro because remember, Cesaro, he wasn't going to do it, but then Cesaro was attacking his brother. So then it's like he reluctantly joined them.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know what direction they got to. I think WWE's trying to tease us. Making it seem like, you know, he's going to become part of Roman Reigns' stable. Then again, he might just become a singles wrestler. And might be the end of Uso Brothers. So, you know, it could go in either direction right now.
I strongly doubt it. Let me tell you why.
Why?
I'll tell you why. Because they did the same thing with Jimmy Uso months ago. Jimmy Uso was main event Uso. He's not going to back down to Roman Reigns, you know. You know, he's going to do his thing. He's the main event guy. He's not going to bow down to him. And then, of course, surely, he you know, he submitted. He acknowledged me, you know. And that's basically what's going to happen with Jimmy. It's the same storyline. It's literally the continuation of the storyline, you know. What made Jay submit to him and acknowledge him as the tribal chief, and that's what's going to happen with Jimmy. Jimmy is reluctant, and then Jay is going to Roman's going to, you know, beat him up, and then he's going to eventually acknowledge him, and you're going to officially have the Usos under his banner. You know?
I don't know. I think it could go in different ways. You know, I think there's different scenarios I'm seeing WWE. They're going to play with us. You could either have Jimmy. I could actually see this more than anything. Mm-hmm. I could actually see Jimmy betraying Jay, and then both him and Roman Reigns, you know, just kick Jay out of the group, and then Jay just becomes a single wrestler himself. I could see that happening, you know?
You know, that's a good point. And then hence he would be the main event Uso.
Yeah, because Roman Reigns always, you know, bullies around Jay, and Jimmy looks like he's not going to take any of Roman Reigns' BS.
Correct.
So, you know, I think Roman Reigns kind of likes that, you know, and then you could see Jimmy betraying Jay, and then they'll just kick Jay out of the group, and Jay just becomes a single wrestler himself. So,
you know, that's a good point. You know, I can see what you're talking about, but I think that would be down the line.
Yeah.
I don't see that happening right now, but what you're saying makes a lot of sense. But I think it's too early for Jay to leave him, even though he's been bullying him this whole time. You know, but I think they would have to both be united. All three of them would have to be united, and then I could see Jimmy turning on Jay. You know.
Yeah.
With that same scenario you were talking about.
Yeah, we shall
maybe
see.
Maybe near Survivor Series. Something like that could happen.
Yeah. I think this would also, if that does happen, you know, this would also, you know, make the Usos into single wrestlers because we've seen them for years as a tag team.
Right.
I would love to see how they would fare, you know, by themselves now, you know.
That's a very good point. I can't see them as main event guys, but you know, like you said, this is the time it's like the New Day. You know,
like a New Day.
Double-digit title reigns, you know. Like, they can't win. You know what I mean? Like, we already know how great they are as tag team champions, you know. So you make a good point. It's time for them to, you know, to get the opportunity to see how they could flourish, you know, by themselves. But, yeah. That's a good point. The throwback SmackDown, it was an interesting episode, but you know, it was just forced when you think about it, because it's like the only reason why they did a flashback a throwback SmackDown episode was because apparently on Fox they have a throwback week. And to me, if they really wanted to go all out and have a throwback SmackDown episode, they should have made it look like the original SmackDown. You know what I mean? With the fist and, you know, or even with the circle that the original entrance that they had. You know what I mean? Like that would be really a throwback SmackDown. This was really like a 1980s, early 90s, like Raw, Hulk Hogan era kind of template that you just copied and pasted and said it was a throwback SmackDown. This is basically like the Legends Night of Raw, which made more sense because when Raw started, it used to look like that. But SmackDown never looked like that, so it wasn't really a throwback SmackDown, you know. But
nice to see Teddy Long.
Yeah, it was. Teddy Long, Jimmy Uso returning. I think that's about it that, you know, when it comes to returns. As we all know, Daniel Bryan lost the match. So his SmackDown career is over, possibly maybe even his WWE career. But there are rumors that he might resign or what, who knows? I mean, but, I'm trying to think what else happened.
Yeah, I can't remember anything that else that happened. I mean, those are the main things, pretty much.
Yeah, what happened on Raw? Was Raw the episode when they announced that, Braun Strowman defeated, I think that was last week. I think Bobby Lashley defeated Braun Strowman this week. Last week was the one when Braun Strowman defeated Drew McIntyre and made a triple threat match. But yeah, this week Braun Strowman lost to Bobby Lashley.
Right.
But yeah, I just can't remember anything that happened in Monday Night Raw.
New Day, day for AJ Styles and Omos.
Right. Yes. Thank you. Yeah. AJ Styles and Omos made their first return, or they made their first they returned for the first time since WrestleMania.
Yeah.
And of course, they retained the title.
Yeah. Charlotte Flair added to the WrestleMania Backlash Women's Title match. The Raw Women's Title match.
Right. That's going to be a great match. Bayley versus Belair. And, that's SmackDown. That's SmackDown's match. Raw is going to be a triple threat match, and you know, according to Sonya Deville, it's because the men had a triple threat match. Why didn't they? I mean, come on, WWE. You could have came up with a better excuse than that. You could have just said that, you know, like, you know, Charlotte earned it, or Charlotte would be a great competitor and make it interesting. Not, oh, because the man had the match, the women can. What kind of excuse is that? Like, the women division are their own, you know what I mean? They don't need to be validated that they have to mimic the men having a triple threat match. You know, it just, you know, Charlotte, you know, putting Charlotte into the match makes it a marquee matchup or something. Come up with a better excuse than, you know, since the men have the triple threat match.
Yeah, we got to do it too.
You know what I'm saying? Like, come on.
Yeah.
Come on, man. Like, that they could have worked on a better excuse than that, in my opinion. Oh, yeah, they announced Eva Marie's going to come back. She hasn't wrestled in years.
Oh, yeah. You know, what's so new about her now?
Nothing that I could think of. Maybe I think I heard she'd been training these past couple of years to be a better wrestler. So I guess time will see, you know, how much she improves.
We shall see.
But other than that, I can't think of anything else that happened on Raw. Yeah, man. NXT, there's a new NXT Women's Championship, champions. The Waves, Candice LeRae and Indy Hartwell, they defeated Ember Moon and Shotzi Blackheart to be the new NXT Women's Champions. Oh, yes, I forgot to mention something about SmackDown. Cesaro defeated Seth Rollins, so he's going to officially have his one-on-one matchup for the first time ever for a title. So congratulations to Cesaro. And, yeah, that's basically all that I could think of that that we need to cover. Anything else you'd like to talk about, Mac, before we ride off into the sunset?
No. Everyone just have a happy Mother's Day. And, yeah, everyone stay safe.
You heard the guy, man. Everybody stay safe. And, you know, I second that. Have a wonderful and blessed Mother's Day, you know, to all the women out there, you know, all the mothers out there. You know, we appreciate you. We love you. We love what you bring to the table. So hope you all enjoy your Mother's Day. But with that said, I want to thank you, Mac, for coming on the show, as always.
Thank you.
And
well,
I want
to
thank
you to be on the show.
Thank you. And ladies and gentlemen, especially the ladies, you know, we want to thank you for coming on the show and listening to this episode of Sports and Religion. He's Macaulay Matthew. I'm William Rameau. See you guys next week. And again, happy Mother's Day. Peace.